Hello, everybody, and welcome back again to Box, Box, Box. We're still sticking with no cold openers at the minute. We're in between race season, but this weekend is Imola.
Well, we're just about to start a triple header, so...
I will say also, should we do a bit of F1 news?
I've got some F1 news to chuck in here, but I mean, before we do dive in, a few little bits and bobs that we're going to be talking about. Obviously, Sam doesn't know what I prepared.
I'm in the dark for this one. Dom's prepared this episode over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Definitely didn't do it 2 days ago and was moaning about it on Instagram.
Yeah, like but, you know, here we are.
We're here now.
So today's topic, as I'm sure you're aware from the title, is we're going to be talking about Daniel Kvyat, and we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive into his episode, more of an educational one, and then we're going to jump into Imola predictions. But before we jump into Imola predictions, once we've kind of finished all the topics of the episode, I've got a little bit of a surprise for Sam that he still doesn't know about, and I can feel his uneasiness about it all. But
there's a pink bag there, and I've never seen this bag in my life, and I'm concerned.
It's just a bag.
It says live, laugh, love on it.
Live, laugh, toast to bath. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about Kvyat. We're obviously going to be trying something a little bit different. Got some news on, well, some old news, I suppose, but on Claire Williams and her George Russell law from when he was back at Williams, and the return of Franco Colapinto.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Which we did speak about a little bit last week. But
my mic won't stand a fucking place today. It's been a dickhead. Carry on.
Give it some,
give it some of the old wiggle. Sorry if you can't.
Did you have any news? I mean, you brought it up, so I'm assuming you got something to say.
Did you see about Christian Horner?
I might be resigning, yeah.
No, he might be getting sacked in Imola, mate.
Oh.
No. Horner's getting sacked. Getting sacked. Horner's getting sacked.
But we can only hope.
We can only hope. It's one of the ones where Red Bull, like when your car's so shit that you start sacking the team principals. That one, did you see that Franco Colapinto like organised a party for women between 30 and 50 and just lived his best life?
I literally just opened that on my camera roll to
what an absolute hero.
So this meme, I'll probably post this on the Box 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 story when the episode goes live. So if you're listening to it on Friday or Saturday, you'll be able to see it.
We should probably put it on the store, on the actual feed as well.
Maybe. That sounds like a good idea. Franco Colapinto is hosting a Mother's Day celebration for all single mothers between the ages of 30 and 50 at his Argentinian apartment.
What a guy.
Can I come?
What a hit. What?
Anyway.
What an actual hero.
So.
That's it for the news, I think. I think it's short and sweet.
The Claire Williams thing that I was
talking about.
What?
I've just flown straight over that. Yeah, carry on. Sorry.
I've got some extensive notes on it, and I tried to summarise it the best I can, but I'm just going to read the first couple of little bits on it. So Claire Williams reflected on her decision to retain George Russell at Williams for 3 seasons, despite interest from Mercedes. And she said, George wanted to go to Mercedes in that last couple of years, and I couldn't let him go, and I hated that. I needed him. I needed him, she said, more than Mercedes, and he was in contract. If I was to let him go, what message would that have sent? What would that have done to my team if I'd have let George go?
Yeah.
I understand why she wanted to keep George because,
obviously, George is killing it right now.
So, and she said that George is now, obviously on about George in the 2025 season. That he's kind of at his A game. He's kind of the best he's ever been. And it's like, it's good. So,
Yeah.
Big up.
Big up your bad self, George Russell.
Kind of swinging back to Franco Colapinto, obviously he starts his first race this weekend at Imola.
Yeah.
I think Alpine have confirmed him for 9 races.
Or I thought it was 6 races.
Okay. So he's only been confirmed for a select number, but that could change as the season goes on.
Yeah, because he might feel better. Yeah.
So, So should we jump straight into Kvyat?
Yeah, so... I'll be honest, I see a lot about, me going in blind here, I see a lot about Daniel Kvyat, like in comments about on Verstappen, especially like when obviously his daughter was born, there was jokes about that I saw in like comments. And I know little bits, but I don't know the full ins and outs. So this is going to be an educational episode for me, but also for you, the listeners. Well, and obviously, we also have our predictions. I'll tell you what, Before we do that, should we do the race predictions now so we don't forget them?
Okay, well, we can do the race predictions.
I'm just thinking, because this is going to be a bit of a longer episode.
Yeah, I think it's probably
a wise idea to do it now.
Well, we'll do the predictions, and then, you know, if learning about Kvyat's not your thing, see you next week.
No, jump to the end when Dom makes me do something.
Oh, yeah, there's a surprise. Okay, yeah.
I can't timestamp on Spotify. I'll timestamp it on YouTube.
Towards the end, probably like last 10 minutes of the episode, maybe.
Yeah, last 10 minutes. But, you'll boost our algorithm as well, so nice one.
Cheers, pal. So, go on then. Who's your predictions for Imola? Bearing in mind, I absolutely nailed it last week. Last week?
Ooh, see?
Week before, not last week.
Imola, ooh. P1, Piastri, P2, Norris. P3. See, I really want to say Leclerc, but I don't feel that's right.
Piastri, Norris.
And I'm going to go P3. You know what? I'm going to give it to Antonelli. I'm going to take a bit of a risk here.
Well, he's the Italian.
That's what I'm thinking. Italian. It's his home circuit. And he's really been competitive and he's only made rookie errors. And so I feel he's got a good chance of getting his first podium, especially in his home country.
So Piastri, Norris, Antonelli.
Yes.
Mine, I'm going to put Piastri first.
Yeah, I feel that's a given at the minute.
But I'm going to put Russell second.
Ooh.
And Norris third.
Ooh.
I'll speak to my old man and get his predictions. But there you go. So Sam's predictions are Piastri, Norris, Antonelli. And mine is Piastri, Russell, Norris.
Exciting.
Throwing the Mercedes in there to split up the McLarens.
I mean, to be fair, we've both just chucked Mercedes. It's basically just McLaren and Mercedes, as always.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But yeah, right. So Dominic, let's actually get into Daniel Kvyat and who the fuck is he?
What's worse than being sacked from Formula One?
Go on.
How about your replacement take your seat, your girlfriend and your daughter?
That is one hell of an opening line, that is.
So, oh, God. Right, hang on. Here's one for you. I'm going to try and pronounce this in a second, but I've just highlighted Daniel Kvyat's middle name for Sam to read. What's disappointing is they couldn't see your face when you did that.
Send it to Phil.
I did. I sent it to Phil. I went, say this a day, and he's like, I'm Polish. That's like a bit not right. And I was like, yes, but I expected you to be able to say
it. To have a good shot at it.
Yeah. I nailed a guess.
Go on.
Hang on. Daniel Vyacheslavovich Kvyat. Probably butchered it, but at least I give it a go. I'm proud of myself for even trying.
A for effort, mate.
Born on the 26th of April, 1994 in Ufa, Russia.
Yeah.
Moved to Moscow when he was just 6 years old and jumped into his first go-kart when he was 8 and instantly fell in love. At 11 years old, he moved with his family to Italy in pursuit of his karting career. Now, on all of that, I couldn't find much on his early history, but if a Russian family 10 years after the fall of the Soviet Union can afford go-karts and relocate into another country willy-nilly, hardly poor, are they? So
they got bread.
Yeah,
they're comfortable.
Definitely, not a Esteban Ocon kind of background. So, or a Lewis Hamilton started story. But yeah, after dominating the karting scene in his early years, he caught the attention of two motorsport giants: a Russian oil company named LUK Oil or Luck Oil. I don't know. I don't know much.
Is that the same people who do the clutches?
No idea. Unless they're Russian, probably not.
I feel that needs like citation, you know.
I probably should have researched that, but I didn't want to.
The clutches are crap anyway, so.
And the other company that he raised the attention of was Red Bull Racing.
Ooh, interesting.
Red Bull's young driver program was just finding its feet, and in 2010, they signed Daniel and another driver who's still currently racing in Formula One, Carlos Sainz Jr.
Mad.
They were both 15.
That's mad.
So
that's actually wild. You know, this Like it was Mother Russia and a smooth operator.
Yeah, literally. So, yeah. Kvyat absolutely crushed every open wheel racing tournament that Red Bull entered him in.
Yeah.
And he was catching the attention of pretty much everyone in the motorsport scene. The end of 2013 saw Mark Webber's retirement, which created a bit of a domino effect. Ricciardo was promoted to the Red Bull seat, and Helmut Marko promoted Daniel to Toro Rosso to make him the second ever Russian Formula One driver.
Well, we continue there. That shocks me that there's only ever been now two Russian Formula One drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially like Russia, which is a country that really prides itself on sport.
Yeah.
And like, highly competitive sport as well. It shocks me that like motorsport.
I think because obviously what I said about the 10 years after the fall of the Soviet is I think maybe the Soviet Union wasn't allowed to enter in Formula One in its early years or didn't want anything to do with it because of its like capitalism and all that. And I don't know. I don't know fat lot well, about
maybe more a bit more freedom of speech, which Formula One doesn't have these days.
Yeah. But, you know. Well, but
that's a grey area.
That's what you've got to think about, really. I suppose yeah. is why there's not been many. But I don't know. Could be wrong. Let us know if you know why, or it's just there aren't very many good Russian Formula One drivers. It's something. Anyway, moving swiftly on.
Move.
Like everything that Kvyat set out to do, F1 was the same, and. His first race in F1, he saw himself qualify 8th and finish 9th. So in the points on his first ever race.
Fair fox.
By doing this, he set the record then for the youngest point scorer in F1, only 19 years old, beating the then record holder, Sebastian Vettel.
Fair fox.
So he kept that momentum going too, scoring points in Malaysia, China, Britain and Belgium. Belgium. Yeah.
Words.
Oh, he was in top form and his popularity kept growing too. His teammate at Toro Rosso had been with him for 3 years and never had any real wow moments. So it became quite apparent that he would eventually get that second seat at Red Bull. All Red Bull had to do was keep him in the Toro Rosso car for a couple of seasons to build up some experience, some confidence, and then promote him when necessary or needed.
Yeah.
What could go wrong for Red Bull and Kvyat though? Maybe their star driver at the time, Sebastian Vettel, announcing his leave from Red Bull to join Ferrari at the end of the 2014 season.
I wonder how that went for Vettel.
All anyone could say at the time was, can Kvyat handle the pressure? Can he keep up with Ricciardo? It didn't take long for him to get answers. And the start of the 2015, got bumped up. I didn't actually write that down. I don't know what, yeah.
We continued on.
But obviously, he got promoted into the Red Bull seat. So, obviously, Ricciardo was driver number one and Kvyat in number two.
Yeah.
So, it did not take long to get the answers. The start of the 2015 season, though, was rough at best. The Red Bull car was awful. And both Ricciardo and Kvyat could barely fight for points. Kvyat didn't even make it to the grid. The first race of the first season at Red Bull due to a gearbox failure at Melbourne on, I don't know whether it was the formation lap or the drive from the pits to the grid, but it didn't even, yeah, that's how bad Red Bull was. That's some Ferrari shit right there, that is.
That's wild, you know.
So, yeah, after that, Kvyat and Ricciardo eventually started scoring points consistently, but were still behind the Mercedes, Ferraris, and surprisingly the Williams. Their main highlight together that season so far was at Monaco, with Kvyat finishing 4th and Ricciardo 5th. So that was until the Hungarian GP that year, 2015. Mercedes were finally starting to show some weaknesses and there was a couple of DNFs. The two Mercedes driven by Hamilton and Rosberg at the time were fighting a lot with the two Red Bulls, and eventually the energy drink cans open and the wings shone through and saw the Russians' first F1 podium with an ex-Red Bull driver, Vettel, taking the top step, followed by Kvyat and Ricciardo. So it was a 2-3 for Red Bull.
Yeah.
Kvyat, again, made history at just 21 years and 91 days to be the second youngest driver to land a podium, second, of course, to Sebastian Vettel. He also set the record for being the best finishing Russian Formula One driver too. The rest of the year was still a bit wank, and everyone at Red Bull For him and everyone at Red Bull, sorry. But he did finish seventh in the championship, 3 points ahead of Ricciardo. So he proved his worth, and he was at least on Ricciardo's level with his first year with the big team.
Yeah.
With a shit car. So, yeah. Wild. The 2016 season was set to be Kvyat's year. Did someone say Ferrari? That year. He didn't go to Ferrari, don't we? With much needed improvements made to the car, he and Red Bull felt ready to take on the next season ahead. But obviously, plot twist, he didn't even start the first race of that season either. Exactly the same situation as last year. I don't know what caused him to have a, it's not a DNF, it's a DNS.
Because he did not start.
But yeah.
That's something you rarely see, you know.
He's too, the only time that I've recalled seeing that recently was Brazil with Lance Stroll.
Yeah.
That was a DNS. So, wild. It's just imagine though, like you've just been promoted to the big boy seat and
your car lets you down.
First race every season. It's like, oh.
It's wild.
Yeah. So, the next race at Bahrain saw him finish seventh with Ricciardo in fourth. But the person in sixth place on that race, might you say, Max Verstappen in the Toro Rosso.
Ooh, it's about to go downhill for Kvyat by the sounds of things.
The third race that season was at Shanghai, China, and saw Ricciardo qualify second and Kvyat sixth. So we move to lights out on Sunday. Kvyat moves from P6 to P3 in the first lap. And has, I don't know whether he had the contact between the Ferraris or whatnot, but doesn't cause any problems for him anyway. Ricciardo also moves up to first, then Ricciardo gets a puncture, ends up in the pits, and yeah. But Ricciardo fought. The race ended with Kvyat finished third and getting the one and only podium for Red Bull that season. But Ricciardo did make a monster comeback and finish fourth. Vettel in the Ferrari, though, was not happy with Kvyat after the moves he pulled on the first or second corner, I think it was, that, and he birthed the nickname for Kvyat, the Torpedo, unintentionally. So we need to chuck this little sound clip here, and I've checked, we are allowed to put this in.
Rather than showing me, let's put it in.
Oh, no, you need to see this. That's why I'm saying we're going to chuck it in. Because you need to see how he reacted.
To make my life easier, it's going in there.
You came like a torpedo.
Well, I was racing.
I'm racing, but you know, if I keep going the same line, you'll crash.
Don't keep going.
Yeah, but there was a car on the left also.
Well, that's why I hit the other car. I can see all the three cars, man. Come on. I have only two eyes, two cars.
You will crash if you do like that.
But we didn't. So.
Yeah, you didn't.
And yeah, you didn't. He was real mad.
That was wild.
He was real mad. I feel that clip it's just how Kvyat's like, well, you know, and I think if there's someone that knows a thing or two about driving like a knob, it's Seb. But
yeah,
in his time at Ferrari, he was a bit more mature and didn't want to die.
I'll be honest, it feels like everyone, when you go to Ferrari, you just become a little bit more mature unless you lose Hamilton and then you just become sassy as fuck. I digress, continuing on with the story about Daniel Kvyat.
Well, the next race at Russia saw Kvyat make contact on the second corner again. Who was it with this time though?
You tell me.
Sebastian Vettel again.
Ooh.
Sebastian.
You could say
Vettel.
He hit him like a torpedo.
He was fuming. He didn't know who it was that hit him that caused him to crash because it was like a shunt from behind.
Yeah.
But it caused obviously crash and retirement. So, and he must have been fucking fuming when he found out it was Kvyat again. But yeah, this angered Red Bull with the his little bit aggressive torpedo style driving, who were sitting on their new upcoming driver down in Toro Rosso, good old Maxi V. The youngest Formula One driver of all time was killing it in the mid-pack and was outscoring his teammate Carlos Sainz, who was on 18 points and Verstappen was on 49.
It still blows my mind that at one point Verstappen and Sainz are on the same team.
Yeah. It seemed like they was just waiting for an excuse to bring him through to the main team. So Red Bull did eventually do what Red Bull do best For the first time, anyway.
Yeah.
And yeah, they did what they did. For the Spanish GP that year, they demoted Kvyat and moved Verstappen up, which really didn't make much sense in the grand scheme of things, because Kvyat scored the team's only podium that season so far and outscored Ricciardo in his debut season. So he was like a season and a half into being at Red Bull. And they were
and
like,
he got basically said back to Toro Rosso, you go.
Yeah. And this was to bring Max Verstappen in. So it's not like it was Max Verstappen's fault and like number one car and whatever. Like,
no, like it's...
He was the better performing driver. And although I go Ricciardo is the man, it's and you got the choice between Kvyat or Ricciardo.
I think at the time, the worst thing, Danny Ric was a beast.
Yeah.
Danny Ric was...
That is true.
Danny Ric was a beast. And he was the more seasoned driver. So in that, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Even though it feels weird, it does make sense.
Well, that's what brought... Max Verstappen into Red Bull anyway, so now you know the full history. Well, I say the full history behind that, but the build up to that,
the initial history.
But yeah, it didn't take long for Max to, well, Max, I guess.
Yeah,
his first race with Red Bull saw him take the top step of the podium. Both Mercedes did spin out and crash on the first lap. So, you know, I'm not trying to take it away from him, but the two. Clearly dominant. The two McLarens at the moment of that era,
yeah,
were gone on the first or second corner. So
yeah,
but yeah, Verstappen then claimed the title as the youngest race winner in Formula One at 18 years and 226 days old, and he was enjoying the podium with Kimi Raikkonen and Sebastian Vettel. I watched the podium celebration from that video doing the research of this, and Verstappen's fucking over the moon and he's there and Seb's like, oh yeah, you know, congratulations.
Kimmy's there like straight faced.
trying to like not get hit by the champagne or rose water or whatever it was at that race. But yeah, it was quite the...
I miss Kimmy so much.
So yeah, Verstappen got six more podiums that season and Kvyat only scored points at three more races. So that brings the conclusion to the 2016 season. 2017 saw Kvyat's Toro Rosso teammate score points almost consistently, but Kvyat only scored points once the entire season and he was eventually sacked after Singapore to let through the one and only Pierre Gasly!
Every time that causes me hell, you know, in the audio.
Sorry. It's you working. Started it. Anyway. No,
get fucked.
Ricciardo started it.
You started doing all this shit again.
That's true.
So don't blame the shit on me. I have sensible microphone voice.
Those things pretty much sucked in his work life now. Well, I mean, he didn't have a Formula One job, so.
Imagine that, like some fucking Dutch dudes come through, eyed up your job, your job, and then done better at your job than you were.
A lot better too, yeah. That's
about to get worse. Yeah.
Kvyat saw we've just done that bit. Things pretty much sucked for his work life now. However, his home life was going great. In January 2017, he started dating Kelly Piquet, daughter of the three-time world champion Nelson Piquet, who was working as a social media and PR consultant for Formula E and another open wheel racing thing that I didn't write down, but I just remembered. However, in 2018, Kvyat tried to build his career, or rebuild his career anyway, in any way that he could, and Kvyat signed to become Ferrari's reserve/test driver. But just like everything in Kvyat's F1 life, it wasn't long before something came along and fucked it all up for him, and this time for good. In the 29 season, 29th, I'm going to start again on that one, in the 29 season, why can't I say the number words?
In the 2019 season.
It's harder than it sounds, isn't it? Yeah. It saw, surprisingly, the return of Kvyat to Toro Rosso.
Oh.
You go, what? I guess that's Red Bull doing what Red Bull do best. Going, yeah. But anyway, after essentially ruining his career, they brought him back to the team and he stepped up. He had a solid return, and to top it off, in May 2019, Daniel and Kelly announced that they were expecting a little girl together. So, yay.
Aww, that's nice.
the arrival of Penelope, their daughter, actually brought him some epic good luck too. The first race after the arrival of Daniel and Kelly's daughter, the German GP, saw him pull off an astonishing comeback from P14 start and finished in third place on the podium in a Toro Rosso, with Verstappen obviously on the top step and Vettel second. That must have been tense.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I was like, also, like you've got literally three guys who pretty much hate each other.
Yeah. And but I suppose it's also a big middle finger from him to Red Bull too, after all the shit that they caused him.
Yeah, 100%. So 100%.
But let's also talk about some things that happened in 2019 at the start of the season. So Ricciardo moved from Red Bull to McLaren.
Yes.
Sorry, Red Bull to Renault. I don't know why I put McLaren. He went to McLaren after that. Gasly moved from Toro Rosso to Red Bull. So he's in the number two seat. And yeah. It's worth mentioning here that Alex Albon it's his first season at Toro Rosso with Kvyat as his teammate. So shortly after Kvyat was in the whole fuck you Red Bull thing, our Drive to Survive fans will certainly know what's coming next. Red Bull's ruthless driver change in tactics strike again and see Gasly demoted down from the main team back down to Toro Rosso, saying Christian Horner said in this was from Drive to Survive, I quote, he was promoted prematurely to the seat. And who do they move up? Only the driver with 12 Formula One race starts under his belt, Alex Albon, instead of the quite clear choice that's making a good comeback, Kvyat.
Yeah.
And he's in incredible form. Don't make sense. It's Yuki Gate all over again.
Make it make sense.
But did Kvyat let it get to him?
No.
Did he fuck? I mean, this dude's Russian. He ain't settling for no shit.
Yeah, I was about to say, the dude's like got skin thicker than...
Literally. The following race saw Kvyat start in P19 and he managed to finish P7, which again,
That's some fucking serious climbing, you know.
Toro Rosso. Toro Rosso, at that time anyway, is quite a feat, really. He scored points in another three races for that season, which saw him kept on by the team for the upcoming 2020 season. So the dreaded COVID season. But that year, shit hit the fan once again because things are never easy for Kvyat, really, are they? Late 2019 / early 2020, no one can kind of pinpoint it because of all the...
Shart.
Yeah. Pardon me. Just a bit. But sadly, it saw Daniel and Kelly's relationship come to an end and it seemed to really fuck him up for the upcoming season. Gasly absolutely destroyed him in terms of performance in the same car. Gasly even went on to win the Italian GP in the AlphaTauri. Obviously from Toro Rosso to AlphaTauri, that is. Another middle finger to Red Bull again after the demotion tactics. So, just to fuck him up some more, it was around the end of the 2019 season that Verstappen started dating Kelly, Kvyat's ex, and baby mama.
Oh no, it's all looking bad now. Not looking good, bruv.
And then just to fuck him up even more, because of his poor performance, AlphaTauri announced his replacement in the form of Yuki Tsunoda, who would start the team for the 2021 season. So basically, Verstappen took his job, his missus, and his daughter all in like 5 years. I personally would have killed him.
I ain't even gonna lie, you know, as Tupac said, bro, I ain't a killer, but don't push me.
Yeah.
Like, bro, trust me. Bro, I would have gone KGB on his ass.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been settling for that person.
Nah, bro, this makes me hate Verstappen again.
2021 saw him clinging on to F1 as best as he could, signing as Alpine's reserve driver, hoping to snatch a seat for 2022. All this happening while Verstappen's snatching win after win, title after title. He never got back into an F1 race. He was kind of, he was hoping to get back into Formula One a little bit, but he didn't.
It never really happened for him.
Yeah, he managed to get some work testing for NASCAR and Formula E.
Yeah.
But fast forward to 2024, and obviously Max and Kelly announced their first child together. They're expecting their first child together. And then we obviously welcomed her into the world, last week, the week before?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago.
So, yeah.
You know what? Like,
Before you get into that, okay. A big shout out to the YouTube channel Daily Fuel Up. Their video titled "The F1 Driver Who Lost Everything" inspired me to talk about the topic and basically helped me script the entire episode. So don't listen to this episode and watch their video at the same time.
Don't know what you would, but okay.
Yeah. But I felt like I had to chuck that credit in there.
You know what? That's, I know Daniel Kvyat is. I remember him briefly being in Formula One and being in and out. I know there's like the ins and outs of like, obviously I think it's very public knowledge that obviously Verstappen basically took his life.
It turns out there is someone that hates Max Verstappen more than Lewis Hamilton in 2021.
Yeah, Daniel Kvyat.
So,
I think it really, it's, I have no actual words for it because like, that's just fucked.
That's kind of, so Kvyat kind of brought the start of Red Bull's shit show of swapping drivers around.
Yeah,
that kind of came and started with Kvyat, so.
Yeah, and obviously he just, I feel that Red Bull are always chasing like the success of what they've had with Verstappen.
Red Bull's just ruined too many people's lives.
They have. Well, Horner has. To be honest, it kind of makes sense why he's getting the sack now.
My favourite Kvyat Ricardo / comment kind of thing that I found so far while I was doing the research for this is, if your name's Dan, Daniel, or Daniel in the Russian spelling, which is Daniil,
yeah,
or something very similar, Red Bull will not give you wings because it ruined Daniel Ricciardo's career, ruined Daniel Kvyat's career. It's like, and also it was written somewhere on the internet that Kvyat was cheating on Kelly and she left him. So technically Verstappen didn't steal his girl.
No, I was about to say, if he had a side chick, then bro, you a dickhead, innit? You a dickhead. Don't make me like go through emotional trauma. Why would you do that? I mean, because Verstappen, you've gone back up in my books. My guy stepped up when Kvyat didn't want to be a father figure.
He stepped up.
You're going to tell me something else now, and I'm going to have to do more PR training and like flip back on myself.
No.
Have you seen that video of Bella James with Thingy, with Toto Wolff and Susie Wolff? He's like, it's F1's power couple. He's like, oh yes, well, it's a professional question. And like Susie Wolff's like, no, it's not. And he's like, sorry, I'm in professional mode. Like, the dude is so hard PR trained. This is me answering like this Kvyat Verstappen shit.
No, there's no, to be fair, that's everything that I've got written down regarding the whole situation now. But he was cheating on his missus and I don't condone cheating. Yes, he might have been cheating and, you know, she rightfully walked away and I'm proud of her for that. Big up.
Your bad self.
But like, even in the grand scheme of things, you look at it and Verstappen's just, I mean, unintentionally,
Verstappen's literally taking, had your kids, had your wife.
Yeah, literally that.
That's Verstappen. That explains the thumbnail for this week's video as well.
Yeah. So, Verstappen coming in here, taking your kids and your, well, he weren't married to her though. So, no. But, I'm sure Penelope has
no idea.
Penelope Kvyat and Kelly's daughter has, I'm certain she's got Kelly's last name, the PK.
Yeah.
So she doesn't actually, I don't know.
That's citation needed.
But I could be wrong, but hey.
Clarification station.
So we got Penelope and Lily.
Lovely, lovely.
So
yeah, you know, Dom, I really enjoyed that. Thank you so much for sharing the story with the group and sharing it with the listeners.
It was one of those, when I started writing it.
This was a good episode for a filler.
When I started writing it, I saw like the, because I've pretty much read everything that was there.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is going to be a long one. But I think it's been just the right length, I think. I'm really good at supplying that all the time.
So it's a, fuck off. So we're going to transition for the first time in this podcast history. And Dom's going to do something to me. I'm scared.
Talking about a little surprise for you, don't I?
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
And in fact, I don't need this anymore. So.
Oh God, I'm scared. I'm so scared.
Well, right there. I'm going to pass you something.
Do I need to close my eyes or?
No.
Why are you passing me a crack spoon?
It's not a crack spoon. It's just a spoon. It's clean. Don't worry. We're going to be trying something.
What the fuck is going on?
I managed to get my hands on Charles Leclerc's new ice cream.
The problem with that?
I know you're lactose intolerant, but you've only got to try a little bit because we got this one.
I hate to be that guy, Dom, and I'm sorry to this for the podcast. I can't do it.
I spent £25 on ice cream. I'm going to review it then.
Okay, I'm sorry, Dom. Like, I hate to be that guy for the episode, but I haven't had lactose, like any ice cream or anything in like 3 years, bro.
Well, we've got vanilla. But wait, there's more.
I'm looking at the lactose content.
There's swirly pistachio.
Is this like Charles Leclerc's actual ice cream, right?
Yeah.
I didn't even know we had a fucking... Wow, it's actually called Leclerc.
£25.
Where the fuck did you buy this from?
Some place on the internet called GoPuff.
You fucking Tory fucker. No, it's fucking gelato, bro. It says it's ice cream. This is fucking gelato. Right.
You're gonna try a bit.
You got a spoon?
Yeah, I want me one too. Duh.
Yeah, come on then.
And we've got peanut caramel tango.
So we're starting then with vanilla.
Vanilla, right there.
You know what? We're gonna have to get product photos of these just to cut in.
Oh, it's some B-roll.
Right. This has 335 calories in a tub. Why? Resist? I don't know. There you go. You spent 25 quid. You can open the fucker.
Well, do you understand why I said time is of the essence now? Because I had ice cream in the fridge.
Shut up the fridge. I'm like freeze mode. We know that fridge gets that cold that it freezes shit.
Why resist? What?
I see earlier where he said, I said to Dom before we started the episode, should probably turn the air conditioning on. And
I'm going to leave the lid half on.
And Dom was like, oh, we'll cool down in a minute.
Yeah. That's like, I'm getting a big old scoop. I understand if you don't want to go for a big one, but this is vanilla.
I'm going this much.
Ice cream, cheers.
Fuck me, that's good, you know. Fuck me. Oh, mate, I fucking miss ice cream. Why would you do this to me?
Well, that's the vanilla. That's...
Oh, no.
No, no. Let's try the rest of them.
I hate you.
I feel like, yeah, this is...
I'm going to be sick today.
I've been dying to try it, so...
I'm going to be sick.
Want me to put it back in the fridge when we're finished?
I'm going to be sick.
We got peanut caramel tango. Or do you want to do the pistachio next?
Let's end on pistachio because I love pistachio.
You know what? I had to Google what pistachio tasted like to see if I was going to actually enjoy it.
Dom, the man, Dom has a diet of a 5-year-old.
Yeah, pretty much.
What's your ideal meal, Dom, while we do this?
Turkey dinosaurs, McCain smiley faces, spaghetti hoops and sausages.
See, I'm more of a medium rare to rare steak with a salad and some potatoes.
I've just ate myself to the whole world.
I've just had that and I can already feel my stomach going. I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish this.
Go on, get yourself that little scoop off the top. I'm not a big caramel fan, so but I'm still going to wham it.
It's all right. To be honest, I need coffee in it. If that had coffee, like coffee caramel.
That's like Snickers ice cream.
Yeah.
That's pretty groovy.
Good deep when you're not hungry.
For the record as well, we've just eaten.
Put the fridge on fucking freezing as well.
And then we got swirly pistachio.
Also, sorry, again, forgot to fucking turn my computer speakers off and my missus just messaged me. I'm not like...
Rah, look at that big green bit. I understand that's the pistachios, but yeah, I feel like that's the bit you're going to go for.
Yeah, I want this fucking ultimate bit of pistachio, mate.
I've not tried it, so...
It's time.
Right, that is a bit nice. Where's pistachio? I've been my entire life.
Honestly, I'm slowly fucking... He's grown up.
I tried ranch yesterday for the first time.
Yo, hear me out. Ranch fucking slaps.
Nah, it was fucking horrible, but yeah. I tried it.
Nah, suck your mum. You're wrong. Take the spoon.
Well, there you go. Did you enjoy the ice cream?
Bro, I'm fucking lactose intolerant. I feel like I'm going to shit myself.
The vanilla was good, though.
Vanilla was fucking sensational. Like, I feel for you.
If I was a bad friend, I'd sit here and eat it now while you start editing this, but I'm not going to.
Bro, do you know how much I want to eat that vanilla? Bro, you can eat the fucking pistachio. You're a new fan. You're not pistachios. Like, so when you first discover pesto.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it's like. It's a pretty similar flavor.
It's basically the same thing. That's why.
Yeah. The more you know.
The more you know.
Anyway, where can we find you?
Oh, well, actually, before we get that, Dom, what are you wearing today? We haven't even done that.
Oh, I deliberately picked up my Red Bull shirt because I felt like it was appropriate given the episode.
Wise. With a RB hat?
With
a V-carb hat?
I've done that thing again where I left my sunglasses on. It's really warm outside.
Yeah, we've got that. If you can hear it, halfway through the episode, we put the air conditioning on because it got so fucking hot in here.
It was warm.
But yeah, you can find me, Dom. At Sentia Silvano on absolutely everything. Dom, where can we find you?
You can find me at DJ Dom Cook. Again, pretty much everything. And
where can you find the pod?
Again, pretty much everything. But the podcast at Box Pod on everything, apart from Twitter. Someone stole it.
Dick Edward, we're coming for you. May I come for you. Lick him up!
Lick him up.
Rastafari.
So there's a clash of sports there.
God bless Chris Eubank. I don't care. I feel everyone can appreciate the absolute manhead that's Chris Eubank. Anyway, thank you so much for listening as always. We'll see you next week.
We'll be watching the F1 on Sunday, 2 p.m. for us.
Yes. And it's Sunday fun day.
It is Sunday fun day.
Double letters for me again. As always, thanks so much. Love you. Bye.
Bye.